Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Does God exist? What about the cosmological argument or the teleological argument? What's a moral argument for God's existence? Is there such a thing as absolute truth? The evidence for the resurrection? Is the New Testament reliable? All kinds of things like that fall under the umbrella of apologetics. A very important topic, a very important area of study, and something that because we have a much more informed world than we did 40 or 50 years ago, apologetics kind of blasted onto the scene as a way to kind of re-engage the intellectual side of our faith rather than just the four spiritual laws, which of course are scriptural and excellent, and that's the gospel. But where we're at now, you have to be able to have a little bit more of a well-rounded conversation, which would include, of course, the gospel itself. Because you don't know what's going on. I had a friend recently, and we were talking about somebody that falls under this category, Frank Turek, who said at a recent conference, I think this was last year he said it, I've heard him say this many times, where he'll get into it with an ardent atheist on a college campus usually, and he'll say, hey, if all the science and all the philosophers all of a sudden said the Bible is true, we actually believe it's true now based on this, that, and the other thing, would you become a Christian? And he says a lot of the people he's talking to, a lot of the atheists he talks to, would look him square in the face and say, no, I would not. And then Frank follows up and would say, so showing you that their rejection of the gospel is not based on their intellect, it's based on their heart. And so I had a friend mention that. They're actually, she and her husband are missionaries in Africa. And she was like, well, you know, then what do you do with that? Because John 6:44 says nobody comes to the Father, nobody comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. So if somebody is that hard, why bother talking to him? Of course, she was leaning more towards a Calvinistic doctrine of election, and if they're not elect, don't waste your time. But of course, the big issue is, how do you know? How do you know where they're at in their walk? How do you know what they've learned previously? How do you know what's going on in their heart? And something like that, an answer like that, which seems kind of callous and prideful, might just be a deflection. So one of the things about apologetics is it allows you to stay in a conversation as opposed to just kind of throwing bumper stickers across the table at one another. And that's assuming that we're actually talking to people that are outside of the faith. A real good friend of mine personally and a good friend of the show, Ben LaCourte with ReasonsToBelieve.org. And also a new item he's working on called Coffee House Christians with millennials, young millennials. We'll talk about that too. Ben, welcome back. How are you?
Steve, I'm doing great, and thank you a lot for letting me be on the show today.
You're welcome, and of course, we're broadcasting here in North Carolina, and Ben's got an apologetics conference, a nice easy one, kind of a half a day, 2 to 6 p.m. on Sunday, July 22nd. So if you're here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, even if you're in Greensboro, Winston-Salem, High Point, within a couple hours of here, and a lot of you are, this is a great opportunity on a Sunday afternoon after church. Dr. Alex McFarland, who most of us know who he is, Greg Kuchel is coming in. Is it Kuchel?
Kuchel.
Kuchel. And then, of course, Ben will be there. I'm going to be the MC. And then this Coffeehouse Christian panel of millennials, which will also be fascinating. So that's coming up on Sunday, July 22nd, 2 to 6 p.m. ReasonsToBelieve.org is the website, the number 2 in believe in between there. ReasonsToBelieve.org. Students get in free, and then us adults, how much do we pay?
$15, and the maximum per family is only $30.
Oh, so no big deal there. What a great bargain. And this will be how many years in a row?
This will be the third one.
Oh, excellent. So, Ben, how would you, just in a conversation at a Panera or somebody that you meet on the street, and you tell them you're really into apologetics, and they say, what's that? What's your kind of elevator answer?
Well, I've actually had that experience multiple times, and so it's a great opener and a wonderful way to introduce Christianity, Steve. So the opportunity once provided is a very easy way to mention Scripture first, 1 Peter 3:15, which says, always be ready, and I'm paraphrasing, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you why you have the hope that you have.
Yeah.
And so that word apologia or apologetics doesn't mean we apologize for being Christians.
Right.
No, there's no regrets there. We are simply offering a logical explanation for why we believe what we believe.
And then when apologetics, when you start breaking it down, there's a lot of different things. I kind of started off the show with that. But just off the top of your head, and we're going to talk about why you're so passionate about apologetics. We're going to unpack a few things here. We'll also talk about millennials as we move through the show today. But what are some of the things that kind of apologetics allows us to get into with people that are questioning what Christianity is all about?
Well, I always like to build a pyramid. And so the first thing that I do is talk about something called worldview. Now, a lot of people think that worldview is something other than what it really is. But if you can imagine putting on a pair of green glasses, the entire world will look green to you, and you won't be able to tell what other colors are. The same thing with worldview. It's the idea that we look through our spectacles, our glasses, our eyes through the perspective that of our worldview that we've been raised up with, that
this
we've grown up with.
This is bad. This is the nature of reality.
This is what we consider to be right and wrong. Yes.
Yeah, because everybody's got a worldview.
Everybody.
But most people aren't aware of it because they're just so used to that. And they really don't. A lot of people don't know how they ended up there.
And a lot of people will say that they don't have one.
Right, because open-mindedness is the golden calf of the 21st century.
Exactly.
So you don't want to say, I have a worldview, because all of a sudden you're categorizing yourself, and a lot of people don't like to do that. You've got a fascinating story yourself, and not everybody that becomes a born-again Christian becomes passionate about apologetics, but you certainly have. So how'd that happen?
When I first became a believer back right after September 11th, or just before September 11th, there was an opportunity to go to seminary. I immediately signed up for that, loved it, just grew wonderfully through that. But about halfway through...
So you get saved and you're like, where's the nearest seminary?
Oh man, it was like a drinking fountain. I just could not get enough.
Wow.
And seminary provided that. I went to Shepherd Seminary out in Cary, attached to Colonial
Baptist
Church.
Which is here in the
North
Carolina area.
Right, yep. Exactly. Thank you very much.
You see, you're a local, yeah. So you're like...
So I think everybody lives here.
Everybody knows, right?
So not everybody lives here in North Carolina. But there was a course that was offered called apologetics. What's that? I had barely heard the word, didn't know what it meant, but took the course and eyes were open there. So, you know, being an engineer, I think logically, and it just fell beautifully in the philosophy and the intellectual banter that went back and forth with regard to that class. So I loved it.
And then what have you done with it?
I started taking more classes and reading and just doing anything anybody else could do, really, Steve. You know, watching videos on YouTube and buying books, and became more and more involved with apologetics until somebody at church asked me if I wanted to teach it.
Wow, there you go. And you learn even more when you start
teaching.
You have
to.
We're talking to Ben LaCourte, reasonstobelieve.org. That's the number two, by the way. So we're going to continue to talk about some of the areas of apologetics. What are they? How do you apply them in real life? What's it like out there when you're engaging folks that don't believe what you believe, and how to use apologetics? We'll talk about some great resources. We'll talk about these millennials, which are an interesting group of people. And we'll continue to talk about the conference as well when we come back right after this. Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about a very important thing today that we should all be at least fairly good at, which is apologetics. No, not apologizing for being a Christian or believing the Bible or having a Christian worldview. Apologetics is simply being able to explain and have that conversation about kind of the bases of the faith that we claim to adhere to. And so whether it's the Bible or even the existence of God, perhaps the problem of evil, which is this is a classic conversation of if God is all good and all powerful, what's the deal with the problem of evil? Because if he's all powerful, he must not be all good because there is evil. Or the other side of that is, well, if he's all powerful, he must not be a very good guy. Or if he's a very good guy, he's not all powerful. So that's a problem because there is clearly evil in the world. So if somebody over lunch or let's say 4th of July the other day, a friend of yours, a neighbor, what have you, said, yeah, you know, the whole Christian thing, I just really struggle with all the evil that's in the world. Do you have an answer for that? Or how do you even know that God exists? I mean, why do you believe that? Or why do you believe a 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000-year-old book? I mean, why would you do that? Why would you believe something like that? And do you have the ability to answer that with fairly strong bases and intelligence and clarity? And that's what apologetics really trains you to do. And once you start getting into it, and God just lit that fire inside my friend Ben LaCourte several years ago, right after becoming a born again Christian. like most born-again Christians, as soon as they get saved, don't start looking for a seminary. But Ben did. And he just has a passion for it, and he's learned a lot over the years and has engaged that with everything and actually set down his career to pursue this ministry. ReasonsToBelieve.org is the website there. Reasons to, the number two, believe.org. And also he's hosting a conference here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, Sunday, July 22nd from 2 to 6 p.m. at Colonial Baptist Church. It's a wonderful church. I actually teach homeschoolers down there, a couple classes that I've mentioned on the air many times. ReasonsToBelieve.org. Kids and students get in free. Adults are $15. The most any family is going to pay is $30. So I was there last year and emceed, and Ben was kind enough to ask me back this year to emcee. It's really a great event. Super easy because it's a Sunday afternoon, and so it's very convenient for everybody. ReasonsToBelieve.org. So we're talking about apologetics, and what are some of the kind of the biggest questions? I mentioned the problem of evil, Ben. But when we're just talking to regular folks out there, neighbors, coworkers, whatever, what are some of the big things that tend to come up more often?
Well, others? Typically, when I start a conversation with somebody, Steve, it'll be one of three things. One is what you just said, is that how could a good and all-powerful God allow evil in the world? We know there's evil in the world, so God can't be either both good and all-powerful, which is a fallacy and it's incorrect thinking. But the other two really, really around the existence of God, does God even exist at all? Yes. You know, we've got the Big Bang out there. Well, you know, they kind of got things started. We didn't really need any powerful force or intelligence or a mind to start that. It just started by itself. I think it was Alex Krauss, wasn't it, who wrote the book A Universe from Nothing? So, you know, our atheist friends are reading those books and bringing them into their minds and thinking, well, there's really no need for a creator or something that got the Big Bang started. And then the last thing I would say is the existence of miracles. People just do not believe that that miracles happen. They've never seen one. And that relates directly to what? The resurrection. So if Christ didn't rise from the dead, as Paul said, we are of all men most to be pitied. And a lot of my atheist and skeptic friends will just not go there because of they don't believe in miracles.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about some resources today, too, and some of your favorite websites and some of your favorite books. But one of the people that I know you appreciate and have spent time learning from him is Jay Warner Wallace. So he wrote a great book. I actually had Jay on the show earlier this year. So if you don't want to go to the website and try to find that, you can just Google it. Just Google Steve Noble, Jay Warner Wallace, Cold Case Christianity. You'll find it. But that was a great way. This is a guy that was an atheist, not dissimilar from Lee Strobel, who decides.
They have similar stories, actually, yes.
But he's an atheist. He was a cold case detective in the L.A. area. And so he applied all the rules in different ways that you go about solving a cold case.
And still is on the force.
And still is on the force. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And he applied that to the case for the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And witnesses, and why are there varying stories, and is that a good thing or a bad thing? And so the first half of the book, he kind of takes you down the road of here's how you do detective work. Then let's apply all this
evidence.
to evidence. And so that's where – do you find that a lot of Christians because a lot of us aren't really trained well in apologetics. We don't think of our faith in terms of evidence. Think of it in terms of, well, just faith.
You know, I'm going to turn the corner on you because I've been changing my tactics around a little bit in the past 12 months or so, and this has been kind of a quote-unquote evolution, if I can use that word, over the course of my career. And it goes like this. Almost a year ago, I was out at NC State, if I can use that word here in Raleigh, North Carolina.
He's listening.
And there was a guy by the name of William Lane Craig who was debating an atheist. William Lane Craig, probably everybody knows who he is. He's one of the greatest debaters, Christian debaters of all time. He was debating an atheist, and I had a table there. I was fortunate enough to have that. And two men walked up to me, both identified as atheists, said, you know, we would really love to have a conversation with you. So I met with both of them, had a wonderful time, got along really well, especially one of them. And his name is Michael, and we met four times at a local cafe, and each time we met, Steve, we had a wonderful conversation, very loving.
How old is he?
He's in his mid-40s.
Wow, so a mature guy.
Mature guy. Claims to have been a born-again believer during his youth, but has walked away, says he walked away from the faith years ago and is now an atheist. So the point is this, is that over maybe 20 hours total of talking back and forth on various trips and things like that with my friend Michael, he would not be swayed by any of the intellectual arguments. Now, it's weird because I would actually catch him in a contradiction, logical, and he was a philosopher, this guy. He read the philosophy books. He was more attuned to that stuff than I ever hoped to be. Yet I would still catch him on statements that he said that were self-contradictory.
Yeah.
And he would even admit later, he would even say, yes, okay, you got me on that one. I've got to go home and think about that. But I'm not going to change and become a Christian because of that. So, like Frank Turek said, and you alluded to a few minutes ago, many people are saying, many of the college people that he goes to and says, if Christianity were true, would you believe it? Would you become a Christian? And most of them say no. And the reason is, Steve, just like my friend Michael, it's not a mind issue. It's not an intellectual issue. It's a heart issue. And that's what we as Christians have to learn to not win the intellectual argument, because it will get him nowhere as it relates to Jesus Christ.
In and of itself, but it is a part of effective conversation. And the mind is a part of coming to faith in Christ, because you have to understand it. You have to understand your own depravity, your own sin nature. It has to make sense, so there is an intellectual side to it.
There is, absolutely.
And apologetics, those are important questions, and they're valid questions. Why do you believe an old book? How do you know that God is – have you ever met him? Have you seen him? All kinds of stuff. The problem of evil, if you want to start talking about the Big Bang theory, and do you really believe there was this big boat, and what about the naked guy and the naked gal in that garden when it all started? Do you really believe that? And those are valid questions. And that can be a question of a hard-nosed person that doesn't really give a rip, or those can be questions of somebody that, well, God may be working in their lives.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
How do we approach them? Why do we approach them? What's our kind of style when we're doing apologetics? We'll talk about that, and then I'm going to dive into this new thing that Ben is working on with these millennials, coffeehouse Christians. Some young people that went through college, some of them are still there, and they're still Christians, if you can believe that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show. This is Steve Noble here with my friend Ben LaCourt, ReasonsToBelieve.org. That's the number two in there, ReasonsToBelieve.org. Also, if you're here in North Carolina, the great Reasons to Believe conference coming up just in a couple of weeks, really 2 weeks from this Sunday. Yeah, I got here fast. And I'll be there as well. I'm emceeing that event. So we've got who's going to be there? Who's speaking? What's it going to look like that day, Ben?
Oh, well, we've got two of the top, I'll say, apologist speakers, really great communicators in the country today. I'm going to borrow this back. Dr. Alex McFarland. I've known Alex for about 5 years now. He hails out of a place called Greensboro, North Carolina. He'll be driving in and speaking. He's recently written a book by the name of Abandoned Faith. Very interesting subtitle. Listen to this. Why Millennials Are Walking Away and How You Can Lead Them Home.
Yeah,
wow. So he'll be talking about that subject. And then we also have Greg Kokel. We're flying him in from the West Coast. And he has an apologetics website by the name of str.org, which stands for Stand to Reason. He recently wrote the book, The Story of Reality, which is a fantastic book. If you'll allow me, this is what Lee Strobel has said about this book, a beautiful crafted description of the Christian worldview written in an accessible, winsome, and well-reasoned manner. So I'm halfway through that. It's an excellent book. He'll be talking about that subject, The Story of Reality.
And then what about these nutty and sometimes frustrating millennials?
They're a lot of fun. So I've been meeting with maybe five or six different people in their young college, advanced college. Some of them are going after their PhD, and a couple of them have actually graduated and are, we call them young professionals. They're actually in jobs right now, but they'll be on stage. They're all believers, strong Christians, have made it and navigated their way successfully through some pretty liberal colleges in the area.
One of them was on the show just a couple of months ago.
His name is Austin Gentry.
Austin Gentry.
Yes, he wrote the book, The 10 Things Every Christian Should Know for College.
Which is a great great primer to get you ready. It deals with a lot of the different things that you're going to encounter with professors and just lifestyle and dealing with choices that you have to make and getting involved in campus ministries. It really is a great book. It's a great reference resource.
So they'll be on stage answering questions live from the audience. And I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity, Steve, for high schoolers and people who are entering college and people who are are already in college and how to navigate those rough waters, some antagonistic waters sometimes in a secular university.
How hard is it to learn apologetics? I think oftentimes we think that the mountain is so high that you're like, well, I'm not like this super logical, super intellectual giant, so I don't think it's really my thing. So how hard is it? And then, because you teach apologetics a lot, how do you teach it?
Well, I'm not going to compare myself with how hard it is because I've had to do advanced stuff. But tippy toe in the water, okay? That's all it takes is a little tippy toe. Don't have to dive in like I did because, I teach it. But to learn a little bit, just a book or a couple of books or just a couple of YouTube videos, maybe go to a conference or two, very easy to learn a little bit about apologetics because you have to realize, Steve, that most people don't know any. Right. And so even with armed with a little bit of knowledge, it does two things for you. Number one, it helps these young people retain their own faith so that when they're challenged with a question by Professor Smith at some, you know, liberal university, they're not knocked off their chair, which is most of not knocked off their chair and thinking, oh, Christianity can't be true because he asked me this one question that I couldn't answer that, you know, Pastor so-and-so didn't address with me back when I was 8 years old. You can just give your child, a loved one, a little bit of interest and a little bit of background in apologetics, help them feel confident that they can clearly explain why they believe what they believe, and it'll do wonders for them in college.
Well, and the first thing that apologetics does is helps you to understand and to have a more solid basis for your own faith, because there's a lot of questions in there that I think in the church generally,
yes,
we don't necessarily do a good job of teaching to those things.
Not yet.
And so you go to a college campus where there's some antagonism. Not every single professor is out to steal the soul from your
correct
son or daughter, but plenty of them are adept at having the conversation, and most of our people are not. So I think when you first start studying apologetics, it helps you firm up your own belief system. And then you begin to realize, hey, you know what? I'm not just making a choice here to close my eyes and take a leap off the cliff. Whereas some people, some Christians have a childlike faith, and that's awesome. I've known several people. You say, why do you believe the Bible? I don't know. I just believe it. And that's the end of it. And they have a strong faith, and they witness, and they walk with the Lord, and other people are going to have a bit more involved answer. But it does help you firm up your own belief system, and then it's easier to talk to other people.
Especially in this universe that we find ourselves in right now. There's more and more each year. You know, hey, let me just tell you, I'm in my 60s. I remember a day when you could actually start a conversation with, yes, the existence of Jesus Christ and that he's the Son of God. Uh-uh, no more. Now you have to backstream all the way up like a salmon upstream to start out with, does God even exist? And then eventually get to, was there this person called Jesus Christ? Is he historical? Did he really live? Did he die? And was he resurrected again? So we've got to start way sooner.
Yeah, well, most people and most a lot of people that are churchgoers and love the Lord will say, "Hey, there's not really a credible historian. There hasn't been a credible historian in the last 500 years that would say that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was not a reality. You know, he is the central figure of human history. Everybody agrees with that. And we're talking about secular historians. I'm not talking about guys or gals that work at a Christian college,
right?
Where they go, yes, there's absolute evidence for the existence of this guy named Jesus Christ of Nazareth who created a stir which changed the world. No credible historian argues with that. Say, okay, so now what are you going to do with that guy?
Every Christian should know, and I want to just proclaim this from the rooftops, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this. Every Christian should rest comfortably in the knowledge that they have the truth, because the truth is God's truth, and they have God. They have Jesus Christ in their hearts, and they can know the truth. Sometimes they're not totally familiar with it, but they know it. They just can't regurgitate it or explain it clearly, but a little bit of training will help them do that.
And we're gonna, in the last segment, we'll tell you some of Ben's favorite websites and some of the best books. If you're ready to kind of dive in, and we should all be going there, where you get started learning apologetics, we'll share some websites and some books when we come back in the fourth segment. But let's talk about these millennials, because I think oftentimes, you know, Barna Research, all these other people are like 50, 60, 70, 75% of church kids go off to college and they walk away from the faith. But there are some that don't. But what have you learned from these millennials that you've been spending time with doing coffee house?
They're relational. They're relational. They are, and I've been reading books on millennials as well as meeting with these fine people, but they're different than my generation, and in a good way. don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be told what to believe. Authority has to be earned. Respect has to be earned. They want to be involved in the discussion about what is moral, what is right and wrong, what theological doctrines to be believing in. Although, yes, the Bible is very strong in them, and they believe the Word of God, but they want to be able to relate to people no matter where they are in their walk. If it's a homosexual, if it's someone who belongs in a totally alternate lifestyle, if it's a, you know, somebody on totally the opposite political spectrum, they want to be involved in conversations with them. They just don't want to say, hey, this is the way it is, and if you don't believe it, I'm sorry, I'm going to walk the other direction.
Yeah, and that's goes back to your relationship with, is it Michael?
Yes.
Which, you know, four meetings and multiple hours, and the question for all of us, I would ask everybody. And fortunately, I have enough time in my schedule because of the different things that I do that I meet with people almost on a weekly basis. And some of them are younger, some of them are older. But I think all of us as followers of Christ, you know, look yourself in the mirror and just say, hey, is there anybody I'm meeting with on a regular basis, either to disciple or to have these types of conversations? Do you know any non-believers, people that don't go to church, people that are outside of your regular church group and your regular born-again friends? And are you spending any time with them? Because if we learn anything from Jesus, we learn that relationships matter.
Amen, amen. And not to be antagonized or intimidated, because, like I said, we have the truth. We just need to do a little bit more study on how to reflect that truth. But the big thing, Steve, even over being able to, you know, verbally articulate the truth, is working it out in our lives and letting the light of Christ so shine before men that they realize that we are what a Christian is through watching us and watching our behavior and watching how much we love people and how much we love even the people that totally disagree with us.
Yeah, and that's where we have to be willing to slay ourselves first and admit our hypocrisy and the fact that while we're saved now and going to heaven, we're not perfected. And so, yes, if you spend any time with me, you're going to figure out real quick I'm not a perfect person.
Can I tell you a story about Larry Taunton? Larry Taunton, I think his ministry is Fixed Point Foundations. Have you ever had him on the show?
I have.
He tells a story about he drove from Washington, D.C. down to his home in Alabama with none other than Christopher Hitchens. Now, Christopher Hitchens has passed away now, but he tells a story about how they read the Book of John all the way down that, you know, multiple-hour trip, and Christopher Hitchens was not impressed at all by any of the theological or intellectual or philosophical arguments that Larry would throw out. But he was impressed mostly with this one thing, and he told Larry this, is that Larry adopted, a daughter.
A daughter from the Ukraine who was?
Who had a...
HIV positive.
HIV positive. That was the thing that knocked Christopher Hitchens out.
You could adopt a healthy kid. Why would you adopt a sick kid?
Yeah.
And of course, the gospel answer to that is, well, isn't that what God does every time that somebody becomes a believer?
He adopts
a sick kid into the family.
Amen.
This is Steve Noble talking to Ben LaCourte, ReasonsToBelieve.org. And also, we'll talk a little bit more about what's coming up on Sunday, July 22nd here in Raleigh, North Carolina. But we'll talk about how do you learn apologetics. All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking apologetics today with my good friend Ben LaCourte. ReasonsToBelieve.org is the website. ReasonsToBelieve, that's the number 2.org. And also the conference coming up, the Reasons to Believe conference. It's an afternoon thing, so it's pretty easy to do on Sunday, July 22nd here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. 2 to 6 p.m. at Colonial Baptist Church. You have Dr. Alex McFarland, who's excellent communicator, excellent apologist. And Greg Kokel is going to be here, president of STR.org, which is Stand to Reason.
Correct.
And then you've got this panel, the Coffeehouse Christians, five millennials. And two of them are still in college and three of them are out, right?
Yes.
So there'll be this kind of open panel discussion with them, which will be fascinating. And really the focus for this conference, Ben, is young people, because all students, college students down, get in free, right? Students get in free. Adults pay $15 a piece. The most a family will pay is 30.
That's correct. And all students, that includes college.
Yeah, and so is that kind of the emphasis? Is that if you could really make a clarion call to people, get our students there?
I'll tell you the way I'll answer that is that it's for college, it's for high school, older high school. Let's say let's say, more of the advanced, like junior, senior, who are entering college because we want to get them ready for college.
Right.
It's also for people who are already in college, and it's for their parents, grandparents. Really, it's for everybody who's over, let's say, sixth grade. And the reason I say that is because who's going to train the people that are the young ones that are in college, in high school and going to college, or who are already there? We are. We have grandchildren. We have nieces, nephews, neighbors, people that we love, children that we want to raise up in the faith and be able to not only know their theology, but this is so important, is to own the theology. And that's the thing that we should be teaching. And that's what we will learn here.
Yeah, what a great point. And again, reasons2believe.org where you can register. And so how do you – back to the millennials here for a minute, because these are five millennials, and two of them still in college, three of them are out, but they all – their faith is intact. It's probably stronger now than it was when they first went in. What have you learned from them as kind of the secret sauce there? How did they come through, in most cases, a liberal college with their faith not only intact but stronger?
Well, I'll give you a couple of things. From talking to my millennials, and this is what people will hear when they attend the conference as well, is one thing I'll say is don't react, relate. What does that mean? There are Christians who go to these universities and they immediately want to shoot their hand up and engage with the professor in a non-loving capacity, a non-loving way, because let's say they've taken some apologetics and they've learned the cosmological argument and they're just all hopped up on the intellectual side and they just want to go after this guy.
Yeah, and the guy, you know, the professor probably offended.
He's got control. He's got the microphone, so he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And so the way to do that is to not react, and that's what I call react, but to relate and to go down and talk to the professor afterwards. If you're in a big auditorium and as people are leaving, make an appointment to have a one-on-one conversation with that person. The second one, if I might go into that, is to realize that there are no omniscient professors, that every professor is just a human being. Not even all liberal professors believe the same way. They have their own ideas as well. So they're not omniscient, and we need to our college people need to realize that they're not, and to have confidence that the college students might actually know more about these things than their professors do. And then I'll say this: Christ be the anchor. Because, like I said a minute ago, we have the truth because all truth is God's truth, and we have God, and we have Jesus Christ. But to realize the fact that even if someone were to convince us that, God is not real, or if they were to convince themselves that God is not real, maybe multiple authors in the Gospels, that it wasn't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What I'm getting at is that doesn't mean that Christianity falls by the wayside.
Right.
The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that he is our Savior is what they have to rely upon, even if someone shakes some of those peripheral ideas that they don't have answers for. It doesn't mean that Christianity is false, and our young ones need to realize that.
Yeah, that's why I like a book like Case for Christ by Lee Strobel is so powerful. And J. Warner Wallace, who we mentioned earlier, Cold Case Christianity, which is one of my favorite books of the last several years, because it was kind of something you learn about investigation, homicide investigation, cold cases, which is fascinating anyway. We watch all that kind of stuff on Netflix or television, whatever. And then you take that into the realm of dealing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're like, wow,
yeah,
there's a great case to be made here.
Absolutely, and learning to swim. You know, I have some of the team that I work with that actually went to a secular university on purpose because they wanted to dive into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they wanted to flex that muscle and develop that method of swimming and surviving in that kind of environment. And they studied, and it wasn't easy, and they had success. And so they learned to swim with the sharks.
And let's remember that the only people Jesus hammered were the religious big mouths of the day. And so when they're out there and you're engaging an atheist or agnostic, another religion, that's not somebody to be put in their place and to be beat down. It's
no
to go there. I can go there quickly myself.
So can I.
I'm like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? But you have to remember, Jesus died for them. He knows them. He loves them. He created them. He wants them to be saved and to come into the knowledge of him. And that's why we're talking to him.
They're made in – just like us, they're made in
that's
his
right.
image.
So we don't put them on a lower level of worth. We're just one beggar trying to tell another beggar where to find some food. So When you teach millennials, or when you teach apologetics, what's kind of your process? And then I want to talk about the resources that you recommend, because I want to make sure we share.
Okay. When I teach apologetics, I build a foundation. I actually build a pyramid. I start out with this bottom row of bricks, I'll call them, that includes, let's say, four bricks, and then there's another tier and another tier, and at the very top, I'm going to tell you what that is. The bottom layer, absolute truth is knowable. Yes, there's such a thing as absolute truth, world, regardless of what people tell us. I've had people tell me, you know what, there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, Michael, my very good friend, atheist friend, said something like that. He said, you can't really know anything for certain, 100% certainty. And I asked him, Michael, can you know that? Well, he conceded
right.
that we could.
That's probably.
Is it true that God created the universe? Well, yes. And there are some very good evidence in ways of showing that. If God, then miracles. Are miracles possible? Well, yes. If we have a God that can act, then we can have acts of God.
Now, if there is a supernatural intellect that can create the universe and then organize the whole thing, miracles are no longer an issue.
Miracles are easy. After the creation of the universe, miracles are just a walk in the park. The New Testament, is it historically reliable? Yes. And then we move up to the second tier, which is the New Testament claims that that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the resurrection proves this claim. The Son of God validates the scriptures. Jesus goes around for his entire ministry showing that the Old Testament scriptures about him are absolutely true. Now, man is a sinner. This is getting towards the top because we really want to end up
sometimes
with
we call this anthropology.
The salvific. Yes. The man is the sinner in need of redemption. Well, that's just pure theology. Nobody can argue that. Christ is the redeemer and reconciler. Amen to that. And what does it lead to? The very top of the pyramid is redemption. Redemption is received through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, to the glory of God alone.
Which is the whole point of it. And I wanted to share this story. I've shared this before. Our oldest son, when he was much younger, and like 11 or 12, at his first Boy Scout summer camp, I was there for a couple days, and he came back with some of the guys from one of their classes, and they're laughing. And I'm like, what's so funny? And they said, oh, Hayden slayed this one kid. And I'm like, well, I know he didn't do that physically, so what are you talking about? He's like, well, you know, this kid brought up evolution and the age of the earth, and Hayden just kind of tore him apart. And I was like, well, part of me wants to say attaboy, but the gospel side of me is like, well, was that really the point, to put this kid in its place and kind of beat him up and embarrass him most likely? And, of course, that's not the point of it, that they were off on that, so it was a good teachable moment. But let's always remember, this isn't an argument to be won. It's a person to be loved and hopefully to be won to the Lord by using, you know, logic and the things that we believe and why we believe them. I was trying to remember what else I wanted to ask you about. Oh, resources. So if somebody like, give me a book or a couple of books and give me a website or a couple of websites, where do you send them?
Okay, depending on where they're starting out in life, okay? Like anything else. I'll tell you how to get there if you tell me where you are. So for Christians who want to learn to defend Christianity, the first thing they need to do, Steve, in my humble opinion, is to find out what Christianity is. That's kind of self-explanatory.
Sure.
There. Greg Kokel, who's going to be speaking at the conference, just parenthetically, has a book called The Story of Reality. And here's the subtitle: How the World Began, How It Ends, and Everything Important That Happens in Between. What's this book about? It's about what the Christian worldview is. So he defines wonderfully and beautifully in excellent prose. This is such an easy read. It's a beautiful read.
All right. The Story of Reality by Kokel,
K-O-U-K-L.
KOUKLSTR.org. Just for the sake of time, we don't have a lot.
So now, moving into, how do we defend this Christianity? Cold case Christianity. You've mentioned Jim Wallace, who's a homicide detective from an evidential standpoint. ColdCaseChristianity.com. That's also the name of the book. Greg Kokel has a book. Going to get there in a minute. Frank Turek's book, crossexamine.org. You can order it on Amazon. That's his website. I'm sorry, crossexamine.org.
The book
is called Stealing from God.
That's
by
really
Frank Turek.
I read that recently.
Did you also read his first book along this line?
I don't have enough faith to
be an atheist. Yes. And then Stealing from God is along that line as well.
So Stealing from God, Cold Case Christianity, The Story of Reality.
And then Tactics, Greg Kokel's Tactics.
And what about three websites?
STR.org, coldcasechristianity.com, and crossexamine.org.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Ben. ReasonsToBelieve.org is the website to register for that conference coming up. If you're anywhere in North Carolina, near North Carolina, you want to make an opportunity, take the opportunity to get up here and be a part of that. Dr. Alex McFarland will be there, Greg Kokel, and of course the Coffeehouse Christians, that millennial panel. It'll be awesome. Great for students. Students get in free. Adults are $15. Bring your whole family. It's no more than 30. Go to reasonstobelieve.org. You can register there for Sunday, July 22nd. I'll get to see you there, too. I'll be the MC. Ben LaCord, thanks for being here, buddy.
Oh, it's going to be a fantastic opportunity.
Awesome. Thanks for coming. And friends, have a great weekend, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.